Podcast. I'm your host, Bat Jordan Valdez, and joining him today is a special guest, Ryan. How's it going, Ryan?
I'm doing all right, Jordan. How about you?
I'm doing batastic today. This is my second podcast recording of the day because Adam and I just recorded. Well, this will be out, I guess, when you're listening to this, this will probably be a week after the episode we recorded this afternoon, which was our Death of Superman review. But it's very fitting because this episode we're going to be talking about Teen Titans Go to the Movies, which we had a very special week as DC fans last week when we got two new DC movies in one week with The Death of Superman on Tuesday on digital, and then Teen Titans Go to the Movies, well, technically on Thursday in theaters. So quite the week for DC fans, and today I've been doing reviews on both of them. So I'm very excited to talk about Teen Titans Go to the Movies, and I'm very excited to have you here with me to chat about it, Ryan.
Likewise. I've, you know, loved the... I never watched the original Teen Titans show, so...
We were just talking about that. I know.
I'm a little late to the train on a lot of... when it comes to the animated DC properties. I know. Hopefully DC Universe app fixes that for me.
Yes, that'll be...
Nudge, wink, wink.
That'll be a great remedy for that. I can't wait for that to launch. As soon as I was able to, I pre-ordered it. I just gotta wait for it to launch. So
I just hope they give us like a launch date soon, so I can like still pre-order it, so I can get those couple months free.
Extra 3 months. Yep. So very good deal that they've got going on there. But before we get into
No, I was gonna say yeah. It's like surprisingly cheap. I thought.
I was shocked. I was prepared to pay way more than that. I gotta be honest. I was like, I would have willingly thrown a lot more money at it than I ended up having to.
I would have been like a hundred bucks a year. Have it. Go. Now it's what 70 some bucks a year.
Yeah, if you buy definitely like 75 go. Bucks if you buy it. If you 75 bucks for 15 months if you pre-order it. So.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is not a paid ad. We just love the DC Universe app so much that we're promoting it without getting paid.
They're welcome to give us a discount, though, if they if they want to.
Yeah. Oh, I would like that. Yeah.
They already have my money, actually, so I guess maybe it doesn't matter.
They could offer to give it to us for free, and I would still pay them for it.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. So anyway, before we get into Teen Titans Go to the Movies, though, we always like to do our comic recommendation segment. So just a brief little segment where we recommend any comics we've read recently. So, Ryan, you got anything to recommend?
Yeah. Actually, you can either call it one book or the beginning of several that I could recommend.
Okay.
I've started to go back since I was kind of out of the DC collecting and reading cycle for a few months, but now that I've just hopped back in, I started off with the Earth One series of graphic novels, starting with J. Michael Straczynski and Shane Davis's Superman Earth One Volume One.
Oh, nice.
And my God, I think that these stories are a thing of beauty.
The
art, the realistic takes, you can definitely see, like, I don't know what, like, when it comes to, like, writing and, like, the drawing, like, the overlap of production between this graphic novel and Zack Snyder's Man of Steel. There definitely was some overlap there during publication and release, but I'm you can't read Earth 1 Volume 1 without seeing similarities to Man of Steel and vice versa. You know, this is definitely a source of inspiration for Snyder and his take on Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great choice, Ryan. Actually, I've read most of the Earth 1 graphic novels, but the Superman ones I actually have not gotten to yet. I know. Adam's recommended them to me in the past as well. I've not gotten them yet. I've read both Batman ones, and they're two of my favorite Batman comics ever. I adore the Batman ones, and I'm so excited for Volume 3. That apparently Jeff Johns is. I think we're getting close to finally getting it, but it's been a long wait for that. But yeah, I adore those. I love the.
I was just going to ask you, have you read Teen Titans or Wonder Woman?
Yeah, I've read Wonder Woman, and I've read both volumes of Teen Titans, yes. The Teen Titans ones, I love. Wonder Woman, I really like as well. So I've read all of those. The only ones I haven't read are, I haven't read the Superman ones, and I haven't read the Green Lantern one that came out recently. But I read...
What's funny is I have the Green Lantern one sitting on my bookshelf right now. I'm looking at it as we speak. Still wrapped in plastic.
Okay,
hardcover.
So you haven't read it yet.
I know, I'm bad.
No, I'll get
to it.
Hey, well, I haven't read it either yet. But yeah, we're definitely. You read the Batman ones though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So good, right?
Exactly. I love it. Just look at those if you want, you know, an idea for a movie or something.
Oh yeah.
Except the birthday boy thing from the first one. That was just creepy.
Oh, it was creepy, but I loved it. He's so creepy.
I know, but I don't... That would just, like, make... If they did a straight-up adaptation of that and included it, it would make my skin crawl, and I feel like I would need to take a shower after that.
No, that is fair. That is fair, but I think that's the way it's supposed to make you feel, because it is terrifying. There's a line with regards to the birthday boy in that book where Batman has some line where he's like, that's true evil or something. Like, I think it's Gordon who asks, what did I just see? Or maybe it's Bullock who asks, what did I just see? And Batman's like, that's true evil. And, oh man, that stuff is amazing. And I actually like Volume 2 even more than Volume 1. I mean, oh man, I don't want to spoil. I was going to say something, but yeah, we keep these non-spoilery for our comic recommendations, so I won't say it, but some amazing stuff. And what I love so much about all the Earth 1 books is the way they keep you on your toes with all the twists and mythology. Like, I love that about them.
You think reading that they're going to give it to you the classic way, the way you know it, characters, storylines, so on and so forth, and then a sudden right turn or a left turn that you didn't see coming.
Yeah, it's amazing the way they do that. So.
There's something that, you know, in later Superman Earth 1 books, something with the Luthers that I never saw coming, and I actually liked what they did. You'll have to read to find out.
Nice. Yeah, I'm in that camp. I will have to read to find out about that. But yeah, in terms of the Batman ones, that's definitely the case with those. Definitely the case with Teen Titans one. Definitely the case with the Wonder Woman one. So of the ones I have read, that's totally the case with those. And it actually reminds me. I know you're a big fan of this too, so I'll bring this up as a comparison. The way it does that, particularly the Batman ones, because it's a direct comparison. Reminds me of what Batman the Telltale series does in terms of putting.
Yeah,
I get that vibe from. I feel like Batman the Telltale series would have taken some inspiration from Batman the Telltale series. So.
And if anyone knows what they do with like Alfred's backstory that they establish in the Earth 1 graphic novels, it almost feels like now every incarnation of Alfred now takes up
particular. It's very much become a sort of a very popular way of portraying Alfred. I mean, first we saw it in Beware the Batman, I think was sort of the first place we got that. Then we saw it in, Jeremy Irons taking BBS. Even before that, Sean Pertwee on Gotham.
I know, I was just about to say, that was the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah, yep, him. We see it a little bit in the Telltale series, I would say. And now it looks like on the Pennyworth show they're going to go that route. So... Yeah, it really has become a popular take on Alfred, so that's awesome.
Wait, they're actually still going forward with a Pennyworth TV show?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't heard that they're not, and I mean, it was announced a while back, so
Is this the movie trailer from Teen Titans Go?
Well, that's the hilarious thing. We got that, the announcement about the Pennyworth series was like shortly after that trailer came out for Teen Titans Go to the Movies, and it was like, Teen Titans Go to the Movies just predicted the future. It was nuts. But it's like...
So sooner or later, we're, you know, they're going to announce new 10-episode series on DC Universe, Batmobile.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, we'll get into that. We'll get into that in a minute. We'll get into the Teen Titans Go to the Movies review. But yeah, that would be hilarious. But I'd watch the hell out of it.
Call me a blind fanboy if you want. I don't care. But give me anything DC Universe related. I will suck it all up.
I'm totally with you there. I honestly can't wait for the Pennyworth series. So I'm so excited. But in terms of my comic book recommendation, I guess I sort of already gave some with, because I sort of chimed in on your Earth One stuff and listed off some of the other Earth One comics that I love. But I'll say, in terms of something new that just came out that I read, which would be the latest. I actually already, you know, when it's a Tom King week, we have a joke on the show that it's a pretty sure bet that my comic recommendation is going to be whatever the latest issue of Tom King's Batman run is. But since I already, since I'm recording two episodes a day and I already recommended the latest issue of Batman on the first episode we recorded today, even though this episode will be out, you know, a week after that, you know, I already recommended on that episode. So I'll go ahead and go with the new issue of Justice League that came out this week, which is Justice League number 5, which every few issues in Scott Snyder's run, he's letting James Tynion come on and do an issue focused on the Legion of Doom, which is sort of reminiscent of what Legends of Tomorrow did when they did a Legion of Doom centric episode in season 2 of that show. So it's very cool. So yeah, James Tynion, Fourth wrote it. It's a Legion of Doom centric issue. We see a lot of Lex in it. We see him sort of recruiting the Legion of Doom. Really cool stuff in this issue, and some really awesome stuff with Lex, like just getting into his mind and like sort of his motivation, his plan here. So very cool stuff. So yeah, I'm loving this run of Justice League, and even though Scott Snyder didn't write this issue, James Tynion the IV came in and did some amazing work with the Legion of Doom. And it's a cool twist. I love the way they're doing this, sort of these unique issues every few focused on the Legion of Doom. So very cool stuff. Yeah.
So does that mean that this is the first Legion of Doom issue that they've done, or they've done another one before
it is,
this?
It's the first one. So okay, yeah, right. It's the first one, and then every few, I think they're going to do one of them. So.
All right. I'm still behind on almost all the comics, a couple weeks behind, so...
Well, you know, since they have done two Rebirth runs now, because they did the first one with Brian Hitch's run first, and then with Christopher Priest's run, and then they rebooted it. Reboot's the wrong word, but they restarted it with another issue number one, so in the new run, you're only 5 issues behind.
I know, thank God.
Not too far behind than that.
It's Scott Snyder, who I never thought would do, like, the big temple book.
No, he's killing it on this book. And I mean, he's killing it. And James Tynion the IV, sort of doing the Legion of Doom issues, he's killing it too. So, yeah.
Good.
Awesome stuff there.
Because I love Snyder's, obviously, the Batman run is just, it's going to go down in history as one of the most definitive runs on the character, I think, ever.
Oh, I totally agree. And my favorite thing of Snyder's he's ever done is actually before the new video 2 even, which was the Black Mirror.
Oh, I have not read that story yet. Okay.
Oh, Ryan, if you're a Scott Snyder fan, yes, check that out.
I will, I promise.
It's amazing, yeah.
I'm probably in a minority here, but I really liked Superman Unchained. And it kind of always made me wish that Snyder was given, like, I don't know if Unchained was, I can't remember off the top of my head, if it was planned to be an ongoing or if it was always intended to just be a miniseries. But that story and comic by itself always made me wish that Snyder had been given the chance to do an ongoing Superman book. Maybe he will, you know, because he did Batman, always doing Justice League.
Hey, well, he's getting to write Superman a lot now in Justice League, so you're sort of, I mean, it's not a Superman solo book, but you're sort of getting that now with Justice League, so, but yeah, Snyder's awesome, and yeah, he's killing it on Justice League now, so, But yeah, definitely, yeah, another comic book recommendation, an unintentional one, but yeah, The Black Mirror, because I'm recommending to Ryan. Anybody who hasn't read that, check that out. It's actually during the time where Dick was Batman, but it's an amazing story, and oh man, there's some pretty terrifying stuff in there, pretty suspenseful stuff, and yeah, I love that story. My favorite thing Snyder's ever written, actually.
All right, next time I'm out at Barnes & Noble, I'll definitely pick it up.
Yeah, definitely do it, Well, yeah, let's get into Teen Titans Go to the Movies. I'm going to throw up a spoiler wall here, so if you haven't seen it, go out and it's in theaters now, so go check it out. And I guess, before we even get into spoilers, I think I can say that both Ryan and I really enjoyed it, so...
Uh-huh. That's an understatement. I've seen it twice. Both that very first showing on Thursday at my local theater at four in the afternoon, and then I actually just saw it again last night just to kind of have a refresher. Smiling ear to ear the entire time, because yeah. A, it's characters I love. B, It's a fun take. It doesn't, not that there's anything wrong with the DC characters taking themselves seriously, but it's also nice to just kind of, they were poking fun at themselves, and I just think that's great.
Yeah, so it gets a big bat thumbs up from both Ryan and I, and so we highly recommend it if you haven't seen it yet. But now we are going to move past the spoiler wall, and we're just going to talk about the movie. So, I think we're mostly on the same page on this movie, Ryan.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. This movie is just a blast. It is a blast. I'm not even sure where to start with it. You know what? I'll tell you where to start. We'll start even before the movie even begins, because...
With the DC superhero girls?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and talk about that for a minute, because it's not technically part of the movie, but it's awesome, and I was not expecting it. So it was a nice little surprise there at the beginning of the movie to get this very, like you brought this up too before we even started recording, which was sort of what Pixar does with their little shorts before the movie.
What?
But it was really cool. It's our first look, really, at the new DC Supergirls animated series with the new animation style. And I love it. This is just really fun. It's about Batgirl trying to get out of the house without to go fight crime without her father knowing, which is just it's so funny. And just seeing all the she's waiting for him to go to bed, and it's like really really funny. And then she's able to run out and catch up, and she actually gets to be the first one. She rushes out there so fast that she winds up being the first one who shows up out of all the these Supergirls. So
of course, I'm thinking she got there before Supergirl.
Well, maybe Supergirl slowed down so everybody else could keep up, and then I don't know.
Yeah, true.
But I don't know. Batgirl was racing pretty fast.
Especially when she had Ace the Bat-Hound helping her.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was that.
I just can't get over that she had a stuffed like plushie of Mr. Freeze who she's gonna go fight. It's like this is a universe where the teenage heroes have the action figures and the plushies of the villains whose asses they whoop from time to time.
it's kind of like Teen Titans Go, because like in the Teen Titans Go living room, one thing that always catches my eye is there's a Dark Side stuffed animal next to the couch.
There's a Dark Side in someone's bedroom. There's a Dark Knight Rises Bane somewhere. I forget with who.
Yep. So anyway, that's cool. And then in the Arrowverse, there's also like I think Oliver's son William has a Captain Cold action figure.
It was either that or like the DC Multiverse or DC Direct Flash action figure. To which, when I saw that episode, a couple of years ago, I was like, I think I have that one. I have that toy.
No, I was just talking about that actually, about the Shazam trailer actually. How I was like, I think I have that Batman figure that's there in Freddie Freeman's room. So,
there's Batman figures. I don't even recall seeing the Batarang.
Oh, yeah, there's a Batman action figure, too, and I couldn't tell whether it was the BBS Batman from the, standard Mattel line or the Justice League one from the standard Mattel line. But, yeah, he's got a Batman.
Oh, my God. I did not catch. Well, thank you for giving me, like, I didn't need another reason to watch the Shazam trailer, but thank you for giving me another reason.
Yeah, there you go. See if you can catch that. And I think it's in that still, because we got a still of that scene, too. I think it's in that still that they released with, I think, Entertainment Weekly, too. So I think you can see it there, too.
And by the way, I know this is a Teen Titans Go to the Movies review, but I just want to say that I love that Shazam, that the team behind it, and that the movie itself looks like it is embracing being a part of the larger DC cinematic extent, whatever you want to call it, their universe,
by having
the Batarang, these action figures, which, let's face it, in a real world, kind of like in Watchmen, there would be somebody who would make action figures of these characters.
Yeah, we get action figures of too. You brought it up. Uh-huh. We were just talking about the Arrowverse William has a Flash action figure. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And the newspapers on the wall of the Black Zero incident from Man of Steel.
It's not
hiding, being connected to everything. Now, whether or not that means Cavill showing up as Super, I don't know. I'm now hearing rumors that he won't be, and if that's true, I'm going to be very sad, because I want more Cavill Superman, but still, the fact that they're just simply embracing all this.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
It's awesome.
Because there's nothing to be ashamed about. Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, Justice League, I'm going to say a controversial opinion. Buckle up, Jordan. I love those movies. Those movies are great.
It's not a controversial opinion with me, because I'm 100% with you. So I will back you up on all five of those movies.
Good. Because I feel like we're fighting an uphill battle with that.
No, I'm totally with you. Totally with you. But yeah, getting back, I guess, to the DC Supergirl short. Yeah, I just thought that was a blast, and it just got me even more hype for the new DC Supergirls animated series that I'm really looking forward to.
So they had was there a series before this?
They haven't had a full animated series, but they've done
like a series of shorts or something.
They've done a series of shorts and they've done animated films, but now they're rebooting it. They're still going to keep doing that stuff, though. They're still going to keep doing the animated shorts and films in that version of DC Supergirls, and then they're doing this reboot that's going to be a full-on animated series on Cartoon Network.
Nice. So, I'm definitely, sure, call it weird, but, I, a late 20s guy, is going to definitely want to check this stuff out to see what they do and the stories that they tell with these characters, who I love.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that even includes little itty-bitty Bumblebee. Love those characters. Love these characters.
Yeah.
And this is, this is something that I hope continues on for years and years to come, this female-focused take on DC characters and, geared towards younger kids. Mm-hmm. Because, right now, my brother and sister-in-law have a 7-month-old daughter. And it would be a dream of mine to be the fun uncle, to get her involved and interested and invested in all these, DC characters. And, if it's around in 4, 5, 6 years still in some capacity, DC Superhero Girls would be like the perfect way for me to like start getting her the dolls, the action figures, the costumes, so that she can get, be introduced to this world and these characters.
Oh, absolutely. You'd be the best uncle ever.
I'm definitely trying. I've already joked that I'm going to, start buying up the Wonder Woman stuff I see on shelves now and just kind of hold on to it for a couple of years.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I love, definitely, if you haven't already, check out the animated movie and check out the shorts. The shorts are free on YouTube, so those are really easy access. They just began season 5 of those. I love what they've done so far, but I love what I'm seeing through this reboot, too. So, moving into Teen Titans, if you're ready to move into Teen Titans, go to the movie.
Sure, yeah.
I would have said this earlier, but we've got our IMDb description, and Adam and I always joke about whether it's going to be one sentence or two sentences, because we always have a blast looking at how absurdly short all the IMDb descriptions are, the plot synopsis for everything. So I'll let you guess, Ryan. You think one sentence or two sentences?
One sentence.
One sentence? You're right about it.
Oh, my God.
So here we go. A villain's maniacal plan for world domination sidetracks five teenage superheroes who dream of Hollywood stardom. You know, it's
true. Well, it's straight to the point, yeah.
Yeah. You should have seen the one we did for the death of Superman today.
Yeah.
On our episode, or I guess for the listeners, last week. You should have heard how short that one. It was a little bit more than this, but it was, because I don't remember it verbatim. But it was like
Superman dies. The end.
I think it was something like Superman fights Doomsday. Period.
Are you kidding me?
Oh my god! It was a little bit more than that, but it was like, yeah, I think it was like Superman takes on an insurmountable foe named Doomsday. I think that's more on the lines of what it was. But yeah, really, really succinct. It was. I think that was our shortest one ever. Yeah, so anyway, they always crack me. The IMDb descriptions always crack me up, because it's like, they're accurate, but they're like, extremely short. But anyway, that is accurate, and there's some awesome stuff involving that plot in this movie, Teen Titans Go to the Movies. So I guess we could start out, well, let's talk about the movie premiere, because I thought that was hilarious. You brought it up earlier.
Poor Adam. The Adam gets no love in this. You know, poor Ray. He's always getting stepped on or being treated like a bug on the windshield.
Later in the movie, he gets hit on the windshield. Yup. Oh, man. Oh, and before that, actually, I forgot to mention one thing. I guess even before we get into the movie, again, one other thing, even before the movie itself, is the we got a Teen Titans Go-ized version of the new DC film.
And I loved it.
Yeah,
because I love the new logo anyway that they do for the more serious movies, the live action ones. Mm-hmm. But to see a Teen Titans Go version of it was precious. I loved it. I actually wanna, when this comes out on Blu-ray, when it pulls back to do the whole group shot, I'm gonna want to freeze and just see how they made everyone, you know.
Oh yeah, it's very cool. And they're using that general intro, though, the main one. They're using that. It looks like for the DCU AOM line now too, because it was at the beginning of the death of Superman.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Did they use like their cartoon versions of it,
one from the DCU films? But but yeah, very cool. Very cool that they're really using this a lot more now.
When they use that in front of Justice League and Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, the character that's not in this movie, but here he is.
Well, a Green Lantern is in the movie.
But it's not Hal Jordan.
That's true.
But yes, technically, yes, there is a Green Lantern in Justice League. Whose name I can't remember off the top of my head.
Is it? It wasn't anybody I recognized.
It is someone from the comics,
I'm sure it is somebody.
He almost like the design vaguely reminds me of Beta Ray Bill from the Thor comics, kind of like this bull looking with like a long snout kind of character.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know what that Green Lantern's name is, but here I'm looking at a comicbook.com article now, and it says Green Lantern from Justice League identified. Let's see, his name is Yalen Gurr. And he first appeared in 1991's Green Lantern number 19. I'm looking him up specifically now. Yeah, Yalen Gurr. Yeah, I don't think I'm familiar with him. I something tells me I've probably seen him in some comic or some animated thing. But yeah, I probably have. But yeah, that's the name, Yalen Gurr.
Okay.
So that's cool.
Well, he's not showing up in the Green Lantern Corps movie.
Yeah, his fate in Justice League was not exactly.
He gets stabbed by Steppenwolf.
Indeed he does.
Spoiler alert, I'm sorry. Steppenwolf kills the one and only Green Lantern in the movie.
Hey, well, what has it been, 9 months?
I know, but there'll be someone who will be listening to this in 10 years, hasn't seen the movie, and they're like, oh, come on!
Here's a good segue. We get a Green Lantern in Teen Titans Go to the Movies, and it's Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart, I know. Yeah,
which is pretty cool. Voiced by Lil Yachty, who did there's actually a few musical numbers in this film, but the big one, the song Go, I bought on iTunes the Teen Titans Go to the Movies soundtrack.
I'm still going back and forth whether or not I want that, although the Teen Titans, like, introduction rap, it kind of still plays in my head a little bit.
Oh, I love it so much. It's so catchy.
So does upbeat inspirational song about life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I love it. It's like, do you know the song The Night Begins to Shine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that they do in the show, yeah. That one is... Hey, that was one thing I was going to ask you, is do you watch the show regularly?
Not as regular as I used to.
Okay.
Thank God it's not like the original Teen Titans, which was more serialized that you actually like had to watch in the beginning. Like, you can just, with Go, you can just hop into any episode.
Yeah.
And you're fine. I mean, for God's sakes, there have been episodes of Teen Titans Go where they've like died. But then the next episode, they're perfectly fine.
Internal continuity in the show. Yeah,
just don't think about it too much. It's fine.
Yeah. For a show like that, it doesn't really matter. So yeah,
I know, and I'm not asking it to. I just want 15 to a half, minutes to a half hour of just cutesy fun. What's so wrong with that?
Or in the case of Teen Titans Go to the Movies, like 84 minutes. So,
I know.
Yeah. But no, I actually do. I'm totally caught up on Teen Titans Go. I watch every episode as soon as it comes out, just because I enjoy this show so much. And even though, yes, you don't really need to be, like you were saying, it's not a show that has internal continuity, so it's like it doesn't matter what order you watch them in, really. But every time a new episode comes out, I'm so excited, so I usually watch it live, and I treat it just like any other show, like event program, any other DC show.
Event programming.
Yeah, I really do treat it that way. So, but I do watch it like all the time too, like when they show the reruns, and I watch those like.
I'll definitely watch the reruns. And now, in light of the movie coming out, I'm definitely going to try, because Slade's never shown up in Teen Titans Go before the movie, has he?
He showed up in one episode in a cameo where they finally revealed, it was like, they finally had a huge villain montage and he was there. Yeah. So he's shown up once, but never voiced.
I doubt they'll get Will Arnett back, but hopefully this is a sign that they'll start using Slay more often.
Okay, think about that. That was so funny. They just spent like a whole minute all saying his name because it's so fun to say. And they're right, it is a fun name to say.
It is, but also, did you know, never once the movie, Deathstroke, never once called that. Well, and I think it's because, it was geared more towards kids, so, Deathstroke kind of does sound a little scary.
Well, the reason, I'll tell you, that is the exact reason for it, because on the original Teen Titans animated series, they never called him Deathstroke, and it was for that very reason.
Really? And that show was hella darker.
Yeah.
Just as from everything I know and have seen of it.
No, you're right about that. You're right about that. And they still didn't call him Deathstroke on that. But then I don't think it's like an issue that they are not allowed to, because Young Justice is, I mean, that's technically a kid show too, and they called him Deathstroke on that. So I don't think that, and on Beware the Batman, they called him Deathstroke too. So
I had no idea Deathstroke was in Beware the Batman.
Oh, have you not seen it yet?
I just know that Professor Pig was in a couple episodes.
Is in it, yes, and he's amazing on that show. But yeah, dude, oh, check out Beware the Batman. It's so underrated.
I know. I got, again, DC Universe.
Yup.
Put everything up there. I will have absolutely... DC Universe, do you want me to have a social life or not? if you want me to have a social life, put absolutely nothing on your app.
I joked about that recently, that I'm never going to get off the couch once that comes out. And that's perfectly fine with me, to be honest.
it's like thank God that if I think I read correctly, that you will be like allowed to download episodes of stuff,
so that you don't have to. I swear I think I read that.
If not, I apologize for inaccurate information. But if that is the case, then that means I will, you know, even when I'm not on Wi-Fi, I'm going to be downloading tons of episodes just so I can watch like on a work break, or if I want to go out to the park and just walk and sit for a little bit or something.
That would be awesome. I hope they have that feature. That would be awesome. That scene where, okay, so anyway, what I was talking about was Slade. So anyway, the original Slade animated series called him Slade instead of Deathstroke, never referred to him as Deathstroke, so I guess Teen Titans Go is following up on that.
But in the original show, was he Slade or Slade?
He was just Slade, but they did say it very dramatically like that, sort of. Not obviously that exaggerated, but you know. But that whole joke was hilarious, where they all said it like that. And that whole scene, and we've seen it in one of the trailers, but it cracks me up so much with the whole, I'm pretty sure you're Deadpool.
No, he should be he should be apologizing to me, because I totally came out
from it. Yep, it's totally true. But the way Cyborg's like, oh yeah, you should say something inappropriate. You should turn to say something inappropriate. I was like, oh, that was so funny.
Oh my god. Yeah, what's kind of funny is he does act, at least to me, act a little Deadpool-ish with just his antics and whatnot.
Yeah,
he never breaks the fourth wall or anything like that. Does nothing close to what Ryan Reynolds does in the movies, but he does have, you know, like, when he, every single time he tries to distract them by pointing at the walls. That is something Deadpool would do.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's because, like, you think about it, Deadpool is essentially a comedic version of Deathstroke.
Uh-huh.
And so, it's like, and this is a comedic take on Deathstroke, so it sort of makes sense that there would be that similarity.
So we've had the comedic spinoff, the comedic ripoff, you know, I say that as nice as the words allow, a comedic portrayal of the original character. Now we just need Joe Manganiello to give us that serious portrayal.
yep. Well, we've gotten several serious adaptations. I mean, uh-huh. We already have gotten several serious adaptations. I mean, you go back, the original Teen Titans animated series, Smallville, Young Justice, the DCU AOM movies, Beware the Batman,
and the awesome Arrowverse Deathstroke.
Yeah, Bennett, oh my goodness.
Just fantastic. That his portrayal above all others made me fall in love with the character of Deathstroke and start picking up the comics.
I keep my promises, kids.
Oh my god.
So good. He's so good.
He was so perfect.
Here's something I'll tell you, because it ties in with Teen Titans Go to the Movies. So the DC Kids YouTube channel, the DC Kids show, the host Jet and Anale, they did this video where they interviewed the cartoon version, like Teen Titans Go. They like put themselves in the cartoon, and they actually got the voice of Teen Titans Go had fans send in questions, and then Jet and Anale asked the Teen Titans Go characters the questions, and I sent in one to Deathstroke, to Slade in this version. I sent in one, and they asked it to him. So Will Arnett actually voiced the answer to my question. And
oh, look at you!
Yeah, I was so excited about it. You can check it out. If you go to the DC Kids YouTube channel, you can check it out.
I'm definitely going to have to look at that after we finish up tonight.
definitely check it out. It's an awesome video. But yeah, because my question was, I asked, does Slade keep his promises?
No spoilers on the answer.
Yeah, I won't spoil you on the answer, but I think you'll get a kick out of it.
That's cool, though. That's really cool.
Oh, yeah, it was so cool. I was so excited when I found out that they read my question. I saw the video, and I was like, oh, my goodness.
You must have been like, boop, 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 boop. Ma, go to YouTube. I made it.
Right? No, it was pretty surreal. I gotta be honest, it was pretty surreal. I geeked out pretty hard about that. But no, I guess getting back to the movie premiere aspect of the movie, to get back to that, the Okay, so we talked about the Pennyworth show a little bit and how it ties into this. But yeah, so we get the whole joke with the Pennyworth movie. And I love that when we actually see Batman in that segment, that he's in his Batman animated series suit, which is just an awesome nod there. Just true to Teen Titans Go form, so many nods to DC history in this movie, which I love so much. And then we see, like you said, the Batmobile movie.
And then, of course, the one that I'll go see in theaters 10 times, the utility belt movie.
Oh, me too. If they did a movie like, if they made it like, sort of like, I guess the best way I could think that they would go about that, if it's a Batmobile movie that's focused just on the Batmobile, they could make it like the Cars animated movies, sort of. Where, like, the Batmobile is like, as a personality, I guess, as like a, I guess they could do something like that, and that would be pretty cool.
The Batmobile and the Robin Cycle have to team up with the big yellow rubber ducky from Batman Returns.
Yeah. And they have to fight the Joker Mobile.
The pink Lamborghini, the purple Lamborghini from Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. And Wonder Woman's Invisible Jet comes in for a cameo to help them out for a minute.
Yeah, yes.
You see, come on, DC, make this movie.
They could seriously make this movie, and if I'm the only one in theaters to see it, so be it, I'll do it.
You won't be the only one, I'll be there. But, anyway, another instance where we got so many cameos in that, in the movie theater there, which was awesome. Uh-huh. And then the whole running joke with the Challengers of the Unknown throughout the movie was really funny. That cracked me up.
Oh my god. Do you mind if we, do you want to stay linear in this review, or do you mind if I jump ahead real quick?
No. We always do that.
Both times I've seen the movie, I almost get into tears laughing when all the, Slade possessed superheroes are inside like that dark realm with the Challengers, and they just like all their energy weapons are just fired at the Challengers. It's just like, it's just so brutal.
yeah. Oh my goodness.
This movie is, for Teen Titans Go, this movie has some dark moments.
yeah. It does. Well, let's get into one of those dark moments, because I was talking, it sort of ties in with how I was talking. It's a very dark humor, actually. It ties in with what I was talking about all the DC nods. There's a whole segment, and I think this is actually what I was telling, even though I know Adam is not a huge fan of Teen Titans Go, I was telling him about the segment today.
He's missing out.
What's that?
He's missing out.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling him. He's missing out. But I to tell him about the segment that I thought he would really enjoy, and it's the
one. Oh, you mean the Back to the Future segment?
Well, yeah, the Back to the Future part, which kicks off this, which was amazing. And just I love here the Back to the Future theme. I love that.
Uh-huh. I was like, oh my god, are they just going to do it? No, they're actually doing the entire theme itself. I was alone in the theater, I would have stood up and started clapping at that moment. Yeah, I thought a DeLorean was going to show up. No, it's just scooters, but still.
Oh, it was pretty cool. But then once they get into that sequence, the sequence that I think would, that I was saying that just, I mean, even though he's not a big fan of Teen Titans Go, just like, I mean, as a DC fan, like, I just adore the sequence, and I think Adam would too, which is the sequence where, and like I was saying, it's very dark humor, where the Teen Titans go and they try to kill all the other superheroes by killing them, like, at the origin. So, like,
not killing the superheroes, but just killing the origins, you know, yeah.
Yep. They mess up Superman's origin with Jor-El and Lara.
They save Krypton by plane. You know what? I gotta admit, it is kind of a sick dubstep beat with the crystals.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to say earlier that I forgot to mention that I was sort of going on to. But the songs in Teen Titans Go, I love so much, because I brought up The Night Begins to Shine and then we got on the tangent. But I love that. I love Go Teen Titans Go, Go Teen Titans Go, which is a little song in this movie.
Is that track from when they're doing the crystal thing on Krypton, is that on the soundtrack?
I bought today, but I haven't gotten a chance to listen.
Okay, all right, you'll have to let me know off the air or something, because that I'm not even that big of a dubstep fan, but I just like it in that moment for that scene, and I just want to listen to it over and over.
Let me see here. I'm pulling up the Teen Titans Go soundtrack now on my iTunes. And
because if you can get, if you can create a sick enough dubstep beat that gets Baby Kal-El to dance around without pants on, I mean, that's such a wrong.
Let's see. I'm trying to think what it would be called. Crystals. That's probably it.
Maybe. Okay.
Let me see.
Yes. Is this it? Yes.
That's it.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm just gonna like download that one song.
Oh, it is on there. So that answers our question.
But I love, you know, I love that with Krypton. All it took to stop Diana from becoming Wonder Woman is just taking the lasso of truth away from her.
Yo, that was so funny. And then when they get back, though, maybe the funniest part is when they get back and they realize what they've done, and the whole world's like a mess. And then they're like, "Oh, we got to go back and fix this."
Are they still making movies? No, like what does Raven say when Robin asks that question? Like, how does she phrase it? Like, no movies, only suffering or something.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
But then they go back and they cut little baby Arthur Curry from
the thing that they always tell you not to throw away because it'll.
The plastic, which I thought went to stop his origin, that was kind of dark. Stop Aquaman? Kill him like we're doing all marine life? This movie does have some dark. Of course, we are building up. I can just tell. We're building up to what they do with Batman.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Let's get into that. Oh, my goodness. They push him into the alley.
Raven puts the pearls on Martha's neck and just push him. And just the look on little cartoon Bruce Wayne's face. It's just so wrong.
I was just ready for Beautiful Lie to start playing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was
dark. God. I was like, I want to sell the movie to my father, who loves DC material too. He's more of a Marvel guy than DC, but he still, you know, loves Superman, all of this stuff.
Sure.
There have been several times when he's walked into the living room while I'm watching Teen Titans Go, and he thinks that it, you know, looks like crap. But I want to watch this movie with him, and I want to sell it to him with the Back to the Future sequence.
I love Teen Titans Go, I love the show, but I know a lot of people who aren't, and I feel like this episode, though, or sorry, this movie, and this is something I was telling, I think, to Adam earlier, it is Teen Titans Go at its best, because it is, like, I think Teen Titans Go at its best is when it is doing all the DC nods and paying homage to DC history. Like, I don't know if you've seen the episode yet, Mo Money, Mo Problems. It was a pretty recent episode. Where they
doesn't sound familiar for me. Oh my God! Now I definitely have to watch it.
So good. Maybe my favorite episode of Teen Titans Go to date. So anyway, but it's like one thing I love about that episode so much is that is one of the ones that's most jam packed with DC references, and I feel like this movie really delivered on that. And so that's one thing I love so much about it. And okay, some of my favorite jokes from this movie, though. Okay, I'm sorry. I have no shame in laughing at Teen Titans Go's fart jokes. I'm sorry. They make me laugh. I'm sorry, they just do. I know some people don't like them. They make me laugh. So like, there was the one we saw in the trailer with the
balloon man or whatever his name is.
It was called the balloon man, which was so funny to me because there's a villain in season one of Gotham called the balloon man.
Yes.
And so it just made me think of that, and I'm like, this is a very different take of the balloon man. But yeah, it just cracked me up for that reason.
Both times I've seen the movie, obviously, you know, I'm, you know, fathers and mothers with their little kids every single time, both times, laughing.
The best line, and we saw this in the trailer, but I don't, it was just as funny in the movie, which is when the balloon man goes, "That wasn't a fart, that was just air coming out of my butt." And then Raven goes, "Which is a fart."
Which is a fart.
Oh my goodness. But, oh, Okay, and I'm sorry, relating to that too, perhaps the very most I laughed at the entire movie was when they pooped in the fake toilet on
set. Oh my god, the gag that kept going and going. I was like, oh, so they're done with the poop. Nope, we're still going with the poop joke.
I was dying laughing at that. I thought it was the funniest thing ever. And just I wanted to call her Rose Wilson, but
I thought they were. I thought that's what they were doing until, you know. I can spoiler, right?
It's just
Slade wearing a woman's costume over Nathan's, you know, Deathstroke costume. But I really
Rose has appeared on the show as Ravager actually a few times in a speaking role. Like, she's had big roles on the show before.
But have they ever referenced her father in the show before?
Well, like
on Teen Titans Go.
He was a cameo. He had that cameo.
But,
in that one episode.
Yeah, but has she referenced who her dad is?
She referenced him. I don't remember.
Okay.
That was an awesome twist with Slade being Jade being Slade, whatever. That was awesome. That whole sequence with them on set and Jade just being furious and being like, basically saying, Robin, you can have the movie, but I can't put up with their shenanigans. So
Cyborg, you know, goes, who wants to go up with some shenanigans? I just love how he goes, shenanigans.
Yeah. It reminds me actually of, I don't know if you've heard this story. I think I told it in our Batman Forever review. Apparently when they were filming Batman Forever, Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey, they saw each other at a bar or a restaurant off set. And, Tommy Lee Jones went up to Jim Carrey and he says, I believe this is verbatim. I'm not positive, though. I believe he says, I cannot sanction your buffoonery. He went up to Jim Carrey and he said that. And that's what it reminded me of.
Of course, you know, if I was Jim Carrey, that's what I'd be like. You know what movie we're doing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Tommy Lee Jones had just as much shenanigans in,
oh my god, he's more, you know, out there than Carrey is.
Carrey
is just, you know, I don't mean this in a negative way towards Carrey's performance, but he's just, you know, he's doing, you know, Frank Gorshin from the Adam West Show.
Exactly.
I'm still trying to, you know, as much as I, like, enjoy Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face in Forever, I don't know what the hell he was grabbing from.
I'm totally with you. He was definitely doing a Gorshin impression, and then Tommy Lee Jones was just
the one up to some shenanigans.
Okay, here I found the full. I'm on the Hollywood Report now, and I know I've told this story. If you've heard our Batman Forever review, you've heard this story already. But I'll go ahead and tell it again. So here's the thing. Let's see. The situation came to head in the middle of production, before the two had their biggest scene together on the Joel Schumacher film, when Carrey randomly popped up into the same restaurant that Jones was having dinner. The maitre d' said, "Oh, I hear you're working with Tommy Lee Jones. He's over in the corner having dinner." I went over and I said, "Hey Tommy, how are you doing?" And the blood just drained from his face. And he got up shaking. He must have been mid-Kill Me Fantasy or something like that. And he went to hug me, and he said, "I hate you. I really don't like you." And I said, "What's the problem?" And pulled up a chair, which probably wasn't smart. And he said, "I cannot sanction your buffoonery."
What's wrong with Agent K? What's
that's so funny.
Why is he so angry?
I don't know. For the record, I still really like Batman Forever, so...
Yeah. I do, too. I mean, I know I wasn't a part of the review for Batman Robin, but if I had been, I would have been totally on board the movie. Not because I think it's a cinematic masterpiece. Oh, hell no. But I can enjoy it for what it is, and that is an attempt at a big-budget Adam West movie.
Exactly. That's what I always say. And actually, we have not released our Batman and Robin review yet.
Oh, okay.
Two out of the three hosts on it, because we've got, it's Adam, myself, and a guest, two out of the three of us really like the movie. So
can I take a guess as to who the one person?
yeah, I don't know if it'll be much of a guess, but
Adam.
I'm pretty certain, but yeah, it's Adam. We love you, Adam. But
I love you, Adam.
Well documented on that movie, so. but yes, and you know, even he was more positive actually on it than I thought he was going to be. So I've got to give him that.
Because it's not. It is not the cluster F train wreck that so many people want to make it out to be. It is not. It is not.
It's an extremely enjoyable movie.
Uh-huh. Just turn the brain off. Just go into the mindset of you know, Adam West, 60s Batman.
Comics, yeah.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it and have fun. Yeah. It's
fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what Joel Schumacher was famous for saying on set. It's a cartoon, people.
Exactly. So yeah, I really like both the Schumacher films, but.
Uh-huh. And you know, it's like, and you know, a little. I don't mean this to become, you know, a tangent into that stuff, but mm-hmm. you know, some people really do need to. I don't want to sound ranty, and I'll get off the soapbox in a second. But people really need to stop blaming Schumacher for Batman Robin.
That's what I always say too. He came in to do his job. He was a uh-huh. yes man for WB. They said uh-huh. lighten this franchise up, and he said okay.
He didn't want to do that. He wanted to do something along the lines of Year One.
Yeah.
You know, everything I've ever heard about, you know, the third movie he wanted to do, Triumphant or whatever it was like officially going to be called. Mm-hmm. With Scarecrow, he was going to go back to something a little bit more dark and serious. He just had to, you know, kind of get through the forced camp.
Yeah,
you know,
because I think what would have happened is that WB would have realized that even though I really like Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, mm-hmm. that those movies, well, Batman Forever actually made quite a bit of money, but Batman and Robin being the financial disappointment that it was. Then they would have been like, okay, Joel, you can go. This wasn't working, so why don't you go ahead and make the darker movie that you wanted to make?
But instead, you know, that's not how the studios work. They're like, oh, this movie failed. You were in charge of the movie, even though it wasn't your fault, but you're still going to get blamed.
That being said, we might not have gotten the Dark Knight trilogy if that hadn't happened. So,
oh, yeah. Definitely.
I'm very grateful.
It's like to be a little dark humor and serious here for a second, you know, mm-hmm. Everyone has to appreciate Batman Robin for one thing, and that's it gave us Batman Begins.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
Without what happened with Batman Robin, you know, we would not have gotten Nolan's movies.
Yep, and as we were talking about, I was telling you this before we started recording. Mm-hmm. My three favorite live-action films ever are the three films in the Dark Knight trilogy ever. So
I'm still surprised about Rises being number one.
I know. Everybody's surprised about that. Which, if people know how big of a Batcat shipper I am, I don't know why they're that surprised. But
wait, whoa! Jordan Valdez is Batcat shipper. That's breaking news.
Right. So I don't see why it's that surprising. But you know, okay.
well, what about Keaton and Pfeiffer?
Well, I again, Batman Returns is right after the Dark Knight trilogy in terms of my ranking of the live-action Batman movies. So, that comes right after that, largely in part because of how much I love the Batcat relationship in that film. So, mm-hmm. I adore Batman Returns. It's my favorite of the Burton Schumacher quadrilogy, and it's my favorite.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, it's my favorite live-action Batman movie besides the Dark Knight trilogy. So there's four on my list.
Okay. Yeah.
I love Batman Returns.
I know there are some people on a Batman film that definitely want to have a talk with you.
Oh no, I've had this discussion many times with Bill and Rick over there. But I know Justin certainly agrees with me. He loves Batman Returns too, and I think Ryan's pretty fond of it too. In fact, not you, Ryan. Ryan Haas.
I am very fond of it too. I do enjoy the heck out of it. But, it's not my favorite of the original quadrilogy, but it's I enjoy
the curiosity.
I think I would have to go with the first Burton movie, the very first one.
Most people think. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. And I know both of us finally got the experience of seeing that in theaters for the first time.
It was a blast. I have like two DVD and Blu-ray copies of this movie at home, but I was more than willing to pay the $10 to $15 that I did to go see it on the big screen.
As both of us being people who had never seen it on the big screen before, like mm-hmm. that experience was just it was something that I had it on my bucket list, and I'm so glad I was able to take that off. It was such an incredible experience. But
now it's like now I hope that they can, like in a month or two, why not do Superman on the big screen? Bring you know the original Superman the movie, Chris Reeve. I will pay to go see.
I will
call in sick from work. I hope my employers aren't listening. I will call in sick just so that I can go.
I don't know if you saw Andy DeGenova in Eden, California. They did a Batman Returns. They did a huge event for the 25th anniversary for that last year, where they showed the movie on the big screen. They did a mock masquerade ball.
Oh my god! Yeah, that sounds great.
I was so jealous of him. It looked amazing. I saw all the pictures and posted, and it looked amazing. So.
Now with
that's
this year,
I've never
now
seen
with
on the big screen either, and not, like yeah. I said, that's my favorite of the Burton Schumacher quadrilogy. So I definitely want to see that one on the big screen at some point.
But now
I want to say I was going to say before I forgot with Ryan Haas, he actually gifted me when I went to his Batman on Film watch party for Justice League. He actually gave me something I'm very very fond of, which is I've got it hanging right here. I'm looking at it right now, a poster of Danny DeVito's Penguin that is just incredible that I love, and I've got it right now. So. Thank you, Ryan, for that, because I love that poster so much. I know I've said thank you to you before, Ryan Haas, but thank you once again for bringing that now.
that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So what were you saying? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Now, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Now, with this year being the 10th anniversary of Dark Knight, The Dark Knight, I was hearing rumors or something that it was going to come back to theaters for a weekend or something, but I haven't seen it.
It's coming to some theaters. It's coming to like only a few across the country, though.
Well, what the heck? Come on. Warner Brothers should know better. Oh, people are going to go pay to see. We could like have like 100 copies in our room, but you say Dark Knight's coming back for a weekend in theater? I'm paying for it again.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I know, I think I told you this before, actually, but the reason I found out about the Batman 89 showing that my local theater mm-hmm. was doing was because it was right around the time of the Dark Knight's 10th anniversary, and I was looking on their website to see if they were doing anything for the Dark Knight's 10th anniversary, and they weren't, unfortunately, but I sure got a hell of a consolation prize with Batman 89 in theater, so I was like, okay, mm-hmm. well, that's on the Dark Knight, but I've never seen Batman 89 in theater, so I really want to go see this. And so I went and saw it. The Dark Knight, I have seen in theaters before, but I saw it multiple times in theaters.
Venues, I'm just looking up a Variety article from like the middle of July. Dark Knight set for 10th anniversary IMAX re-release.
That's it.
Venues, Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, and Toronto will host the... Oh, come on, Warner Brothers. Release it wider.
Yeah, I know, right?
What the heck?
Nothing. Because I live in... Because you live in a pretty big... You live in Cleveland?
I live in Cleveland.
Okay, that's what I thought. And I live in Atlanta, so we both live in pretty big cities.
Yes.
And neither one of them is doing anything. So that is a bummer. I know BOF is putting together a watch party in New York, and I wish I could make it up there, but unfortunately I don't think I'm going to be able to.
Yeah, me neither, but I do want to do a BOF watch party.
Oh, man, the one Ryan put together in North Carolina for Just League last year was mm-hmm. so much fun.
I knowing what the guys think about Justice League, maybe it's a good thing I didn't go, because I definitely feel differently about the movie than they do.
Hey, well, I was there. I was certainly sticking up for it, but I know Ryan was fairly fond of it, and I know Paul Miller, who was there with us too, was pretty fond of it too. So,
I would have stuck up with. I would have been like, you guys, stop picking on the little Justice League.
No. But, I like I love friendly debate. Even you know, even when we do, I love friendly debate. So I enjoy discussing it.
I definitely would love to plan. So if you got, if you BOF guys are listening, watch out. I am going to at least try. Whenever the hell we get Matt Reeves' Batman movie, that's the one I will make the effort to go and see at a BOF watch party with you guys. Because that's the one I know that they are just going to love.
Yep. I'm definitely planning to do that.
Let's split hotel costs or something. Right now, we'll make the plans. We'll do it.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea. I know. I'm also planning to go see it with, because if it is a summer release, as it's looking like it's going to be, I'm planning to go see it. Adam and I are going to go. I'm going to see if I can go up to Toronto and see it with him, and then go to the big con that they have in the summer there in Toronto. So, we're putting something in the works there too. So
That's cool.
Yeah. So that should be fun. Anyway, we're off on a big tangent, which is fine. But
did we have a particular topic in mind tonight? I forgot.
I kind of feel like on this show, anything DC goes, it really does. So that's totally fine that we're on a tangent, but I've thoroughly enjoyed what all this stuff we do, the Burton Schumacher stuff, the Dark Knight. But getting back to Teen Titans Go to the Movies though, let's talk about Nick Cage and Superman and finally.
Which just gave me goosebumps in the good way. It's just like, I know it's animated and not like a serious animated, but still, he finally gets to be Superman.
It gave me the same feeling that the Lego Batman movie did last year.
With Billy Dee Williams, yes.
Two-Face. Yep. I love that part.
It only takes you guys like 20, 25 years to finally become the characters you so desperately wanted to play.
Yeah, knowing especially with Nick Cage how big a Superman fan he is, I'm very happy for him that he got this opportunity. So
likewise.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I kind of hope that they can release like behind the scenes video of like the recording sessions, just to know what he was thinking and feeling, finally getting to voice Cal.
Yep. Maybe on the home video release.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah, that would be cool. Well,
Warner Brothers, if you're listening, we're telling you what to do with your home video release.
here's a question for you. One thing that really struck me watching this movie was, because obviously we got the news that Jimmy Kimmel was going to be voicing Batman going into the movie, and then I watched the whole movie waiting
for Batman talk?
That's what I was going to ask. I don't think, because I've only seen it once so far. I'm going to go see it again probably several more times in theaters, but so far I've only gotten to see it once. So I know you saw it twice, so I was wondering, because I saw it once, waited the whole movie for Jimmy Kimmel to voice Batman, and I was like, did they cut that part? But then once I got to the credits, it still said Jimmy Kimmel is Batman. So I was like, when?
Never.
Did he like grunt or something that Jimmy Kimmel voiced at some point?
Was Kimmel involved with one of my favorite constant gags on Teen Titans Go is Batman and Gordon laughing.
Yup.
Oh my god. It is one of my favorite things. It is so stupid, but I'm in love with it.
And those TV Night episodes they do are some of my favorites.
The fact that they treat, I know it's like sacrilege, but the fact that they treat in Teen Titans Go universe Batman and Gordon as like teenage girls having sleepovers, it is fantastic. It is beautiful. I love it. It is sacrilegious, but I love it.
It's hilarious. I love it too.
And I love that they brought it back for just one moment. It's like, yes, thank you. You gave me.
So did he voice the Batman giggle there?
I have no idea.
Like, I don't think he voiced, because like Batman always does the giggle on the show with Gordon, where they're always giggling. But I don't think it's Jimmy Kimmel that does that. So I was wondering, maybe for the movie, it was him doing that giggle.
I don't know.
But it was so weird to me.
Just as like, does Mark Hamill have a credit in the movie? Because, when they go to the dystopian future briefly, and you see Joker and Harley Quinn throwing bombs out of a, hot air balloon. I'm sorry, that's a Mark Hamill laugh coming out of Joker.
I don't think it was Hamill, though. I think it was probably a Hamill impersonator. Because, like, you hear Troy Baker can do pretty much a spot-on Mark Hamill, so I'm sure there's other people who can do it, too. So, So maybe with somebody else.
Either that, or they just went the cheap way and just, you know, cut a snippet of him laughing from some previous version and just threw it in there. Who knows?
They probably can, because they probably have the rights, so I imagine they can do something like that. Another running joke I loved in this was where they keep forgetting that Raven can just teleport them wherever they need to go, and they're like, oh, and they like, at first they're like, how are we going to get through there? And then they remember that she can teleport.
You know, I can create portals to almost any feasible location. Okay. How do we defeat all these evil, you know, possessed superheroes? Portal. And just suck them all in.
Oh man, that was funny. That was so funny.
Another of my favorite bits is when they are being chased through the studio by Batman, and you know, first it's in the Batmobile, and then that blows up. And then it's the Bat Pod or Bat Cycle.
Yup.
That blows up. And then it's roller skates. That blows up. And then he's just riding an Alfred.
It reminded me of the scene in Batman Ninja where Batman keeps he keeps changing his vehicle as he goes. Like he keeps after each attack he has to get into a smaller vehicle or whatever.
I do have to ask you, because I haven't seen it. I think I should see it just to see how bad shit crazy it is.
And it is. Pun intended.
How crazy is Batman Ninja?
It is. That is the best way to describe it. And fully pun intended, batshit crazy. And I love it. That movie is awesome. It is crazy, but there's also some scenes that, like, there's some Batcat stuff in it that I love.
Of course.
There's also one of the most horrifying Joker and Harley scenes I've ever seen, which just gives me chills every time I watch it.
No spoilers.
No spoilers, dude. Yeah. No spoilers, but look out for that, because it's amazing. But yeah, I love Batman Ninja. It is something very unique and something... I just love it. So definitely get on that one too, dude.
I know. I know. I've been a bad DC fan. You know. I have my periods over the years where I'm like not really interacting with fandom and not watching stuff, and then when I finally get sucked back in, I feel so left behind. like how you and I have been talking, you know, in our own private chats, like all the Birds of Prey, Gotham City Sirens movie news.
Yeah,
when did all this happen? I thought they just decided to be economical and combine the two movies.
Yeah, no, well, I know that was speculated by some people, but no, it looks like Gotham City Sirens is probably still on the table, which I'm very excited about, so...
I mean, give us a movie about everybody. I will go see it.
Well, I don't know if you heard Geoff Johns' recent quote that, like, he was talking about how, like, every character is going to get their due, and he said that recently, so...
Did he mean in movie or just?
Well, I think he meant in terms of adaptations.
Okay.
So I guess movies and TV. I think he was meaning every character.
Who the hell thought that, you know, 10 years ago that there'd be a Doom Patrol live action series?
I'm so excited. We were just talking about that today about how excited we were for Cyborg in it. So.
And I hope it's not like I said to you. I really hope it's not like a Charlie's Angels thing where you never see Charlie, you just hear his voice or something. Show a Cyborg.
I know, yeah, I definitely think they will, because I think they've even been putting out casting calls for it or whatever. So
now, am I crazy, or did I hear that Luther is supposed to show up in Titans?
In Titans, yeah, there has been some speculation that I've heard speculation that Superboy is going to show up in it.
I know,
and that obviously he ties in, because obviously he's half Luther's DNA. Mm-hmm. So
they're going with that version of Superboy. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be the Kal-El Superboy. So I don't know if there's been. I don't think there's been any sort of confirmation that Lex himself is going to show up. But,
okay.
There's been speculation just by the fact that they're going to do that storyline. So. I think that's a good chance.
Okay, good. And Red Hood is Shaw, right?
Jason Todd. Whether he's actually going to be Red Hood or whether we're going to see him in flashbacks as Robin or something, I don't know.
Oh, it's when they're like doing Batman versus Superman part two, and then they start like fighting each other. Like, what's your mom saying, Martha?
That
mine too.
Was
and
my
then they
one criticism. For
real
the entire movie.
Stop it. When they do the lovey dovey hug, and wait, your father's name, Jonathan. Mine was Thomas.
I love that Martha scene so much in Batman v Superman, and it's just been piled on so many times that it hits a little too close to home for me.
Oh my,
to make that joke.
Jordan, come on.
I'm sorry. It is my one criticism with this movie is that it's just a little too. I've heard so many people pile on that Martha scene that you gotta understand where I'm coming from here.
Especially since I remember when BVS came out, and I went to my local comic shop. And I like got it. Like I spent like a whole hour at the shop, like having a rather civil debate on BVS with them. They were completely against it, and I was standing up for it. And yeah, they were these lifelong hardcore comic book guys were berating the Martha scene. And I'm like, you guys do realize it's the Batman Superman fight doesn't end because the mom's name is Martha.
Exactly.
It is kind of genius that both these the two most iconic superheroes their mothers are named Martha.
Yeah,
but
it's clever
that,
in that way, but that's not. It's so
yeah,
much
it's
more,
that it's Batman that realizes. Oh wait, he has a mother. He is maybe not. He is human, despite being an alien, if that makes sense.
Exactly. Batman sees an opportunity to save Superman's mother when he wasn't able to save his own.
Yes.
And so he realizes that instead of becoming like Joe Chill and murdering Superman, that he can actually... He realizes what his mission was again, which is to make sure other people don't get orphaned the way he was. And so he sees that opportunity, and he's like, that's what I have to do. So yes, I'm totally with you there. But like, because like I cried during that Martha scene when I first saw it, and it's like I don't, because of how much flack has gotten from so many people, how much I've had to defend it. Like it's just, that's why it's my one criticism with you guys go to the movies. It's just that joke just hit a little. It was just like I'm just a little too tired of people piling on. So.
I understand what Zack Snyder was going for, but I still have fun with it a little.
Okay, all right, and that's cool. I get it.
I would get a chuckle if a King Kong versus Godzilla, they're fighting, and they're like, was your mom named Mothra too? I'll stop.
No, it's all good, dude.
So that was your only criticism? You had nothing else?
I don't think I had any other criticism with the movie. I got to be totally honest.
Well, my only big criticism, and this is an obvious nitpick, is kind of what we talked about earlier. Never call him Deathstroke, but I understand why they didn't. It's still kind of a bummer, though.
You see, I think I'm used to it because I have so much love for the original Teen Titans animated series where he's always slayed. In fact, that's the first version of Deathstroke I was ever introduced to. So
really? Okay.
For me, yeah, because I grew up with that original Teen Titans animated series.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for me, it's natural. It's natural for me. Like, I can understand that. For me, it's natural though.
My first introduction to the character as a whole, just in its entirety was I'm trying to remember. It was either the Arkham Origins video game or.
Okay.
Manu Bennett's
amazing.
I know. And it's like, it's kind of funny that it's like so early on in the game, and it's actually like the most difficult boss battle too.
It is, yeah.
I have had, in order to beat that boss battle and continue the game, I've had to do like look at my phone, play a YouTube video, see how the person's doing it, and just recreate it.
But anyway, the stuff with Slade, yeah, I really, I want it because that's sort of getting to the finale of the movie, the big reveal mm-hmm. with Slade. And, I mean, I loved all the stuff with Slade in Teen Titans Go to the Movies. And Will Arnett, I thought, did a really good job voicing this version of Slade. Of course, going from Batman to Deathstroke, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I really enjoyed that. I don't know. I feel like we're sort of wrapping up on the movie now. Mm-hmm. I want to get into that mid-credit scene, though. Is there anything else you want to bring up about the movie, though?
Other than, you know, clearly, if you don't like Teen Titans Go as a series, this movie is not for you. But if you can just kind of enjoy a little tongue-in-cheek pokes, digs, and love letters to the DC universe and DC history, then you will love this movie. And this isn't just towards DC. Think of all the Marvel references we got.
Stan Lee. I mean, we talked about the Deadpool one, but the Stan Lee cameo.
Stan Lee cameo.
That was so funny.
I'm here for my my obligatory, not very obvious cameo.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Stanley, what is the DC movie? Oh, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, that was so funny.
And then he comes back later. I don't care if it's a DC movie. I just love cameos.
Yeah, that was so good.
And another one was, you know, when the Titans are fighting Balloon Man and they're like, are you guys the Justice? No, we're not the Justice League. Oh, now I recognize you. You're the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wrong universe. Yeah, yeah.
Wrong superhero universe.
Yeah, that was funny. That was very funny. And there were two other jokes I was gonna two that were in the trailer that I was gonna bring up were the joke about you didn't save anyone. Me and Cyborg goes, we saved room for dessert. That cracked me up in the trailer, and it was just as funny as the movie. And then the other one that was in one of the trailers that cracked me up was...
Is it the waffles?
The waffles one, yeah. What are you going to do? When Slade's like, what are you going to do? Threaten me with waffles? And then they're holding waffles, and they...
You just see Cyborg's push the waffles off to the side.
I love the waffles thing. Waffles. It always makes me hungry for waffles, because I love waffles, and it always makes me want a Lego waffle. Lego Eggo.
Lego waffle. That's going to hurt. That's going to hurt going through.
They have those Lego Eggo waffles, so...
Oh my god, are you serious?
I'm not even kidding.
Oh my god.
And actually, they have Spider-Man waffles right now at my grocery store.
I'm going to have to get Spider-Man ones, okay.
I don't know if you've seen, I talked about this in the most recent episode, but speaking of DC, or sort of, not DC in the case of the Spider-Man waffles, but in terms of, I guess, the superhero food promotion, they've got honey-made Graham snacks right now with Justice League on it, and they've got collectible trading cards in the back that you can put out.
Okay,
all the Graham snacks have Justice League character logos on them. It's so cool. First of all, I love Graham snacks, so I already find them delicious, but I've been devouring these things, getting trading cards, and
Did you ever come across the when Pop-Tarts was doing a Justice League thing, not for the movie, but just comic book Justice League, where they had, you know, superhero and supervillain packs, where they actually had the comic book images like printed onto the frosting?
I don't think I've gotten those. I don't think I
saw them around here a lot for like a couple of years, and I haven't seen them since. Oh god, maybe the last time I ever saw one in stores was probably maybe sometime last year, actually.
Okay, man, I must have missed those. And it's funny, I'm surprised I missed them, because I always jump on those. I got all the snacks that they had recently. I've been getting the Batman ice cream that they've had recently.
Oh, that's definitely something that I'm doing constantly, is getting Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman ice cream.
Ice cream, oh, it's so delicious. And I love those comics on the back. And uh-huh. I've gotten, for about 2 years straight, for breakfast every day, I ate the Batman from Batman v Superman cereal.
Hold up, you still have that?
I don't have it, not anymore. I still have the box. Oh, I have the box on display here, but... For about two, it was about 2 years that they.
Because I would be hoarding that stuff if I could. I loved.
Oh, I missed it. I ate it just about every morning for probably about 2 years when they had that stuff. And more recently, they had Justice League cereals more recently with this panorama. You could collect all the boxes and make a panorama. And I collected all of those, and they had comics inside, and I read all those comics.
I remember that, and I never got around to getting a box. I wish that they would do more stuff like that. Because I will eat it, literally eat it all.
Yeah, and I swear, anytime they do that, that's like all I eat. Anytime there's a fast food restaurant promotion, like they did most recently with Just the Action at Burger King, like that is whatever restaurant.
You got a Happy Meal, didn't you?
What's that?
You got a Happy Meal, didn't you?
Not a Happy because it's Burger King. Burger King doesn't have Happy
Meals. Right. Sorry, but, my bad.
No, you're good. You're good. But anytime they have that at a fast food restaurant, that fast food restaurant is the only place I eat out for the entirety of that time.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I'm not even kidding. So I like always collect the toys. I am so on. Anytime there's any sort of DC promotion, I'm like all over it.
Oh, but now you're just bringing back memory of the Batman Superman cereal from BVS, and those were like just some of the most beautiful days ever of my life.
The Batman was delicious too.
It was, and I liked the Superman one. And of course, like how I said, the morning of when I went to the fan screening of Batman vs Superman, of course I poured both boxes into one bowl. I was like, I gotta have them both. I mean, Justice. I just want a bowl of Justice.
I have a funny story I have, and I told this on our Lego Batman movie review. When I went to go see the Lego Batman movie, for the first time, that was back when I was up in college in Massachusetts, and obviously it was in February, it was the middle of winter, and there was a huge snowstorm that day.
Oh, Jesus.
And I remember I went to one of those Thursday night preview screenings at like 6 o'clock or whatever, and it was a huge snowstorm that day. Class was not canceled though, and I cut class I cut class that afternoon. I went really early so I could drive really slowly. I drove like, it took me like 3 hours because of how slowly I would drive. Because like, okay, so I was in like college in a really small town, and they didn't, and the theater, there is a theater in that town, but they don't do the Thursday night preview screenings. I was so desperate to see the Lego Batman movie, I had to go to one Thursday night preview screenings. So I drove all the way out to the closest big town, and it took me like 3 hours. Actually, it probably wasn't 3, it was probably more like 2 hours-ish. In that snowstorm, so I was driving so slowly, drove all the way out there, saw the movie, and then stopped at McDonald's because they were doing the Lego Batman movie toy promotion, and stopped at McDonald's, had dinner at McDonald's there, and then headed back. So anyway, I have such fond memories of that night. That was like one of the most fun days of my entire life. Because I remember I was listening to Batman podcast on that drive over there. Then I went and saw the Lego Batman movie. Then I went and had dinner and got a Lego Batman movie toy at McDonald's. And I just have such fond memories of that day.
Dude, you're committed.
Yup. That's very true. So that was a very fun day. But anyway, let's talk about this post-credit scene.
Okay. Yeah.
So I love the whole movie, but my first reaction coming out of this movie was that mid-credit scene was worth the entire price of admission alone. I almost screamed in the theater when I saw it. Okay, coming into this movie, we heard some of the cast members talk about how if this movie did so and such, however much money, that if it did really well, basically, that there was a chance that the original Teen Titans would get revived for season 6. And I was like, that's awesome, but I didn't put much stock into it. I was like, okay, that's awesome, but I don't know how likely it is, you know. And then it sort of sounded like, sort of a maybe type of thing. And then we get this post-credit scene with the static. First they're static and can't tell what's going on, and then you see the original Titans and they say, I think we found a way back. And I lost it in the theater. I was like, oh my goodness. Because it was just like, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the original Teen Titans animated series. I grew up with it. I adore that show. As much as I love Teen Titans Go, I do love the original more. And I just, seeing that scene just, first of all, it just got me so excited. First of all, it just made me so nostalgic seeing, I mean, obviously I've watched more recently than when it I've watched quite episodes of those kinds of animated series, like much more recently. Very recently, in fact. I watch that show pretty regularly. I love it so much. But seeing a new footage with that version of Penguin is so exciting. And just the prospect of getting them back. I mean, maybe, we've already seen the DC Universe streaming service provide Young Justice, so maybe they could do the same thing for Teen Titans. And
I think it's kind of pretty obvious that that's what the mid-credits, post-credits, whatever you want to call it, that little scene was teasing is that, it's coming back. I'm surprised there wasn't a little blurb saying Teen Titans coming to DC Universe app or something.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been if they had done that, I literally wouldn't have screamed.
So I'm guessing that one of your favorite Teen Titans Go episodes is when they do go back into the animation style of the original show.
Of course. There's a couple instances of that, because there's the one where they redubbed the pilot of the original series, and then there's the one with Control Freak where they see their original animated series. So they've done it a couple times now, but yeah, those are some of my favorite episodes of Teen Titans Go. I love it when they do those. So I freaked out, dude. I freaked out.
And still, that alone won't get Adam to go see it.
Well, I told him. He told me I could spoil him on it, so I did tell him about that scene. And I don't know if that's gonna make him go see the movie. I don't know if that's gonna convince him. But and then there's the post credit scene with the challenges of the unknown, finishing up on that gag, which was also just hilarious.
They get a movie. They're getting a movie before me.
Yeah. Hey, I'd love to see a Challenge of the Unknown movie. That would be awesome.
I would go see it, even though I'm completely borderline oblivious to who they are. I would still go see it.
And, hey, maybe they will do it, because they just got a new Rebirth title, actually.
Really? So, okay.
Yeah, maybe they will do it. We were just talking recently, I think, about the synergy that they like to do between the movies and comics. So maybe they'll do that. But anyway, I guess final thoughts, if you're ready to give that, I guess.
Sure, you can go first.
Okay. Well, I will say I love this movie. I think it's just such a blast. So many funny moments, so many DC Easter eggs. And then that post credit scene just being the icing on top. Like, wow. It's like an extended episode of the show, but it's like one of the show's best episodes. Oh man, this, as a fan of Teen Titans Go, this is something I was really excited for, and it definitely delivered.
I definitely feel exactly the same way as someone who is, even when I do take my quote-unquote breaks from collecting or reading, that doesn't make me not be a fan. So I've been a lifelong fan of the DC Universe. And yeah, I like the dark, I like the serious, I like the gritty, but I also like when they can poke fun at themselves, when they can be a little tongue-in-cheek and have a little bit, that dreaded word that some, sectors of the fandom hate, but they can be fun.
We can have variety. We can have this, then we can have a middle ground with Young Justice, and then we can have the really dark Titans with the live-action show. So it's like we're getting and something else in the middle if Titans gets revived. But it's like, because we're getting, and then the DC UAOM has done their Titans movies with Justice League versus Teen Titans and Teen Titans Judas Contract, which is like one step, I would say, below Titans in terms of the level of maturity of those movies. So it's like we're getting all these different variety, and that's the great thing. We can have I love too, and then we can have
it's the same principle as I love Affleck, I love Bale, I also love Adam West. I love this one character, that has been portrayed so many different by a lot of people, so many different ways, from serious to comical.
It's so much it's malleability. Like, that yeah. especially, but just the DC universe in general has so much malleability.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm with you. So, I know probably a lot of more hardcore DC readers may not go see this, but, you know, give it a shot. It really is a fun time, and it's only an hour and a half. I mean, come on, it's not that long.
So, letter grade, Brian?
I would give it a I would give it a B plus A minus in the middle, like that.
I was thinking the exact same way. I was gonna say I think that before the post credit scene for me, it's probably a B plus. After the post credit scene, it's an A minus. So my final grade is an A minus.
Go see Teen Titans Go to the movies. We'll get more if this movie does well enough, we'll get the original Teen Titans show back. And we'll also get
That's the other thing. If you don't have incentive enough, if you're a fan of the original show, go support this, because if that's true, that if it does well enough, that's one of the factors that'll bring back the old one, then I mean, at least go for that reason, right?
and I hope that this can lead to more like theatrical DC cartoon movies. Whether or not they're serious or more comedic. I don't care.
We just found out about the Super Pets film being in development. So,
Ace and Crypto, yes.
I am, dude, you have no idea how excited I am for that. I was a huge fan of the Crypto the Superdog animated series.
Uh-huh.
And this just reminds me of that so much. And it's like, if it's anything like that, I don't think I'm going to do this one. We talked about it on the episode recorded this afternoon. By the time this episode comes out, it's been out a week, so the listeners probably already have heard me talk about how excited I am for the Super Bowl movie, but I'm so excited about it.
I'm excited for it, too. And, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Crypto in the world, but I forgot.
Did you watch that animated series?
No. I know. Dude. Once again, Ryan, watch this. I will. DC Universe. But I forgot. It was during the New 52. I forgot if it was Action or just the regular Superman comics, but the one Crypto issue where it's like his ghost / Phantom Zone version is following Clark through his whole life from the death of Krypton to him being Superman. That is the closest I've ever come to during the New 52 era to crying while reading an issue. Was just, you know, this ghost of the dog, his, you know, pet when he was a baby on Krypton, has followed him through space, you know, thinks that he is helping him stop villains, stop bad guys, and just seeing like the ghost image of Krypto laying next to Clark at the end of the night, just, oh my god, it almost made me tear up. I forgot what issue it is off the top of my head, and that sucks, but it was one of my all-time favorites during the New 52 era. It wasn't like a whole issue. It was just like a backup story or something.
I got you. Yeah. I might have to shake that down. That sounds excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I love that Crypto and the Superdog animated series. And then, even though it's not actually Crypto, but Crypto episode of Smallville, because I'm just going to share our love for Smallville. I love that episode of Smallville.
I know. Why couldn't they have just kept the name to Crypto? even after the doggy lost his powers. Come on.
Well, I believe Shelby is the name of Clark's dog in the comics, too, before, like, his dog on the Kent Farm. Like, I believe that's the name of the dog in Superman for All Seasons, actually, which Smallville picked heavy inspiration from. So, mm-hmm. I could be wrong about that, but I believe there's precedent for Shelby.
And was the name ever given in Man of Steel?
I do not believe so.
But I know, I get Shelby, I get it, but come on, keep the name Crypto, come on.
or Clarky. They could have gone with Clarky, as
Lois
wanted.
Oh, my God.
oh, man, that cracked me up. But, well, that's a good segue, actually, because, Ryan, you'll be back for our Smallville Season 6 review, actually. So
I know. I can't wait.
You'll be hearing Ryan on again soon for that.
I know. I'm sorry. You're going to have to hear my voice again, people.
Hey, well, I am so excited. This was a blast, Ryan. I'm so excited that
it was
on Chat Smallville.
I can't wait for that.
Love
yeah.
we share for that show. So, yeah.
Especially for what, you know, happens in the sixth season. Spoiler alert, Justice League. So,
yup.
That's one of the big reasons, more than almost anything, why I love that season.
Yup. That Justice League episode, amazing. Green Arrow's involvement heavily.
Cyborg.
Cyborg is season 5 when he's introduced.
No, I know, but them that in the Smallville universe, having Cyborg as a founding member.
Oh, as a member of the Justice League, yes.
Yeah.
The first place he ever was one, yep.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Something Smallville beat the New 52 to.
Yep. 5 years earlier, yep.
Uh-huh.
You're absolutely right. That was something Zachy actually brought up on our Smallville season 5 review. But yeah, I guess that's going to do it for this episode. Ryan, you want to throw out some social media plugs for yourself?
Even though I'm not on Twitter as much as I am now, you can still follow me at Reaxus Prime. That's R-H-I-A-X-U-S. I am kind of going to be within the next month. It's going to sound a little weird, but rebooting my Twitter account, kind of, and kind of starting with, you know, a fresh, clean slate. I'll be posting details as to where you can find me after that, but for the time being, and for any updates and ramblings about literally everything, you can follow me at Reaxus Prime on Twitter. And if you want to try and find me on Facebook, if my privacy settings are not messed up, you can find me at Ryan Huelsman. That's Huelsman.
Cool. Well, yeah, what I was going to say is, I can guarantee you that you're on Twitter more than I am right now, because I'm currently locked out of Twitter still.
Yeah, I remember Adam telling me about that. I'm like, what the hell did Jordan do?
I didn't do anything wrong. It was sort of a technical glitch that Twitter had, actually. Uh-huh. They're working to resolve it. Anyway, so you can't find me on Twitter right now. Actually, well, you know, I think we're getting closer to me finally being back on. So maybe since this episode is going to be in the bank for a couple weeks, since it's, as of us recording this, it won't be out for another about week and a half. So maybe I'll be back on by then. But,
hopefully,
in the meantime,
yes.
Though, was that?
I was just saying, hopefully, yes.
Hopefully, yes.
Yes.
I'm on other social media, so you can also find me on the DC All Access app and on Instagram at BatJordan2739. And I also want to solicit some iTunes reviews. So if you like what you hear from us, or if you don't, well, we'd love to hear from you in the form of an iTunes review. That would help us out a lot. I also want to mention that we are a proud member of the Batman Podcast Network, graciously hosted by Batman on Film. So if you want to find other Bat-tastic Batman-related podcasts, you can go to batmanpodcastnetwork.com. I guess that's going to do it for this episode, and we will see you next time on Multiverse Musings. Thanks so much for listening. Bat Cat forever, from the first kiss to the last. Bye-bye.